It's a great pleasure and a privilege to be here with you. And I could truly say I could give every one of you a hug. And it's the truth. I love you. I really, truly do. And I hope when I'm done that you will feel the same way about me. And if you'd like to give a hug to me, I'd be glad to give you a hug back. As Dan mentioned, I'm coming from a Roman Catholic background. And in my early 20s, I repented and put my faith in the Lord Jesus. And I became a Christian. It was a radical change in my life. Instantly, I got set free from my sin addictions. And it was like a bomb went off inside. And everything changed. Everything. And my faith and trust in everything I had believed in religiously changed. And I started to wonder about the Catholic Bible, because I got saved by reading the Catholic Bible. The old family Catholic Bible was under a stack of books in the room. I remember digging underneath the stack and blowing off the dust, and I started to read it, and that's how I ended up getting saved. And I asked a friend of mine at the time, who happened to be a Baptist, I asked him, I said, what's the most accurate translation of the Bible that we could read? He said, the King James. Okay. So I went down to the bookstore, and I bought a big family KJV. Not just a smaller Bible like you might be carrying in your hand. I bought a family size, and that's what I would carry to church, and that's what I would read. I used to be a KJV onlyite, and basically it came from what the Baptist friend of mine had told me about reading the King James. Everything I had trusted in was thoroughly shaken. Everything. And just because mom and dad raised me a certain way, that doesn't mean, even though they love you, that it's necessarily correct. You have to base it on the Word of God. But now the issue is, what's the Word of God? What is the Word of God? Because we're dealing now with an issue called KJV-onlyism. That's the belief, as you probably know, only the King James Version of the Bible is the Word of God. If it's not the KJV, it's not the Word of God. In fact, the leaders, the main teachers of KJV-onlyism would say, it's not even a version, it's a perversion. They say that if you read something like the NIV, the NASB, the English Standard Version, even the New King James Bible, that this is part of a New Age conspiracy that will lead people to take the mark of the beast and to worship the devil. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but believe it or not, people like Gail Riplinger and others actually teach that way. It's strange, very, very strange. So anyhow, because of the different things that we are into in our ministry, all kind of people contact us, especially since we have a website. And this issue of KJV-onlyism is a hot potato. I mean, there are people out there that sincerely believe that you are of the devil and you're not preaching the Word of God, and I don't want to hear anything you have to say if it's not KJV. And if you wrote a book and if it's not based on the KJV, I don't believe there's anything in it that's even worth reading. So let's look at this issue and let's examine it and see just exactly how solid those beliefs are. Does anybody in here have a 1611 edition of the KJV besides me? You probably have the 1769 Blaney edition. One quick, easy way to know if you have the 1611, does it have the Apocrypha in it? If it doesn't have the Apocrypha, you don't have the 1611. This is a reprint of the 1611, everything that was in it, including the preface and just everything else, as well as the Apocrypha. Now, some of you, coming from a Catholic background, you probably are aware of the Apocrypha, but I want you to see, if you could look up here just for a moment, can you see from paperclip to paperclip? Yeah. That is the width of the Apocrypha, from paperclip to paperclip. Now, if you're acquainted with the New Testament, that's the equivalency of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and 1 Thessalonians. Over one half of the New Testament. That's how thick the Apocrypha is. Okay, so the 1611 KJV had the Apocrypha in it. When people say only the King James is the Word of God, really what they mean is they're coming back to the 1611 edition. So they're actually saying indirectly, even though they never really thought this out, they're actually saying the Apocrypha is the Word of God. That's what they're saying. Indirectly. They probably would scream and holler and say, no, it's not the Word of God. But when they say the 1611 edition is the Word of God, and this was in that edition, they're endorsing the Apocrypha. The Apocrypha has praying for the dead, the belief of purgatory, as well as in Tobit, that you give to the poor so that your sins can be forgiven. Three heresies. And rightly so. The Apocrypha should be rejected and correctly has been removed from the later editions of the KJV. And that's wonderful. Thank God they got it out of there. But folks, it should have never been in there. Never. It was in there for quite some time. I think they went through like five editions before they finally threw it out. But it's out. Thank God it's out. But I wanted to point that out. Now, see, that's significant. And the reason it's significant is because one of the top arguments from the King James only camp is that word is missing. That phrase is missing. You've got the Apocrypha missing. That's like taking out Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and 1 Thessalonians. You're missing. I noticed this, especially with Gail Riplinger. When you're dealing with Gail Riplinger, you're dealing with a woman that has a double standard. There's a woman that will condemn all translations of the Bible based on that's missing or a Catholic connection, especially a Catholic connection. But when it comes back to the KJV, that kind of argument doesn't apply. But I'm not so sure, why wouldn't it apply? I mean, why can't we use the same standard to examine the KJV? I believe that when you look at the 1611 KJV, there's a very significant and glaring Catholic connection. Just the mere fact that the Apocrypha is in it. But also, at the very beginning of this translation, believe it or not, they have various holy days listed. A page of holy days over here. Perhaps some of you can see it. And part of the listing would be the purification of the Virgin Mary and the Annunciation of Our Lady. Similar to what you might read if you were a Roman Catholic. Now besides that, we have the facts about Desiderius Erasmus. Erasmus was the one that formulated the Textus Receptus, which is what the King James is based upon. There's two basic camps of Greek manuscripts. You have the Textus Receptus, and you have the Alexandrian Textites. They both have Catholic connections. So you can't say, well, that one over there is connected with the Vatican, and therefore it should go in the garbage can. Well, folks, Desiderius Erasmus was a faithful Roman Catholic priest who dedicated the first edition of the Textus Receptus to Pope Leo X. And he said he wanted salvation, but not without Mary. Now, these are facts. This is the truth. We just heard. These are the facts. Shocking, isn't it? It was a shock to me when I read that and found that out. I'm not even a King James onlyite anymore like I used to be. But when it comes down to the bottom line, what we're dealing with here, I believe we're dealing with people that want to enter God's paradise kingdom. We're smart enough to know one day we're going to die, right? We're all going to die. And nobody knows when. And it's not necessarily the oldest person in this room that will die next. Maybe, just maybe, it might be the youngest. It might be the one that's oh, thinking, well, I got another 30 years, another 40 years. You don't know when you're going to die. Nobody knows. That's part of this test that we're involved in here. Nobody knows. So what we got to find out is, what does this book say? What does the Bible say? And let's find out what we have to do to get clean before God, because He looks at our heart. And Jesus said, blessed are the pure in the heart, they'll see God. So let's find out how we get our heart pure. And we better walk clean and faithful to God. And folks, I present before you, as humbly and as kind as I could possibly be, that I do not believe that any King James Onlyite can really, truly, sincerely say from their heart they can understand what they're reading. Now, I believe that these words are so strange and complex that they have been so far removed from our conversation and the way we tend to read and write that when you hear superfluity of naughtiness, vain janglings, and all kind of other words similar to that, what can you deduce from that except I'm not sure exactly what he or she is saying. You don't really know what they're saying. Let me give you an example of something here that might help drive home the point. Listen to this. This won't take more than about a minute. I'd like to read a four-sentence paragraph. Listen to this. Last week, I walked over to the grocery store. On my way over, I passed by a turtle in the parking lot, which I was careful not to step on. I saw an old friend in the store who was suffering from a severe cold and was on the verge of fainting, but we still had an important but quick conversation about wax. Midway through, however, a peculiar and rude person in gay clothing tried to prevent us from communicating by denouncing our rights to talk there, but we showed charity to him and he walked away. There are 14 words in that little paragraph that mean something different in the King James than it would today. Did you know the word turtle that you would find in the King James, it actually means a dove? So it's not something, a hard shell reptile, it's a dove, a bird. My wife and I, a number of years ago, stopped in a church, really not that acquainted with anyone in that church, and the pastor used a particular word that I venture to say almost all King James-only congregations are acquainted with. And that's the word peculiar. And you're a peculiar person. And that man said from the pulpit about an old brother that was in there, this is a peculiar man right here, this servant of God. Using that in a way that he's an odd person, odd to the ways of this world. But did you know that these words, such as quick and conversation and peculiar and rude and gay clothing and prevent, denounce, and charity and careful, they all mean something different? Those words change their meaning from 1611 to our day. The English language has changed. Did you hear that? When I was a young boy, there was no such thing as gay clothing being associated with a homosexual. Isn't that true? I mean, the word gay has taken on a brand new meaning in our society. It's true. And the King James refers to gay clothing in James. Now, if somebody came into your meeting wearing gay clothing, what would you think? If I said so-and-so was wearing gay clothes, we would tend to think, well, it may be a homosexual. Listen to this. I mentioned that paragraph. Careful doesn't mean cautious, it means anxious. Suffer doesn't mean feel pain or distress, but it means allow. Faint doesn't mean pass out, but it means relax. Quick does not mean fast, it means alive. Conversation is not something that happens between two or more people, but it's referring to one's behavior. Wax is not something that candles are made out of, but it means to become. Peculiar does not mean odd or strange in the King James. It's a special person who's one's own. If you're a peculiar person, you're bought by the blood of Jesus. You belong to God. You're a peculiar person in that way. The people of this world, the children of the devil, they're not of God. They're of the devil, amen? Isn't that the truth? Rude does not mean discourteous. It means not trained in the KJV. Gay clothing, not clothing worn by homosexuals, but bright, expensive clothing. Prevent does not mean keep from happening. It means precede. Communicate does not convey information about, but it means share with. Denounce does not condemn or accuse openly, but it means declare. And charity does not mean give relief to the poor, but it means love. So we got a problem. We got a communication problem. We got something that's going to block our ability to understand what God wants us to know. Okay. Now, I run into King James Omniites and say, well, all you have to do is carry a certain type of dictionary with you, and you can look up these words, but sometimes you won't even know what word to look up. Sometimes you won't know that particular word. I'm not talking about one that is hard to pronounce, or a word that you've never heard before. I'm talking about words that you have heard. I remember I was evangelizing in downtown Pittsburgh a number of years ago, and I talked to a man on Liberty Avenue about salvation, and he said this to me. He said, we are saved by suffering. I said, well, why would you say that? What do you base that on? And he said to me, well, the Bible says, suffer the little children to come unto me. He thought that word suffer, as found in the KJV, meant suffering as we would tend to use it. That's what he thought. He didn't know that word means allow the little children to come unto me. I remember when I first started reading other translations than the KJV, what really hit me was in Hebrews chapter 4, it's speaking of the Word of God, it's alive. KJV says it's quick. I thought it meant fast, but that word means alive. Okay, well, let's talk about something else. Because one of the chief arguments of the King James Only camp is that there was a homosexual Virginia Mullen caught that was part of the NIV translating committee. And that's true. That's a factual statement. The other part of the statement about her is that she was removed. But did you know one of the translators, one of the 47 translators of the KJV was Richard Thomas, who was a known drunkard and was never removed from the translating committee. Did you know that? I didn't until I looked into it. So again, the same standard that would condemn all these other versions would condemn the KJV. You got, you're leaving that out, would condemn this. You got the Catholic connection, which would condemn this. You got a person that's immoral on the translating committee that would condemn this. But folks, let me ask you a question. Does it change the message of God's Word? Absolutely, positively not. The Bible is the truth. I'll tell you what I've done. I don't know about the rest of you. I have spent, and this is no exaggeration, a minimum of 5,000 to 10,000 hours easy in the Bible. After 5 members of my family died, I know positively the day's coming that I'm going to go down. I'm going to enter eternity. The Bible says most will go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I'm very serious about entering God's kingdom. And what I want to do is to make sure I understand what the Word of God is and what God's will is. And when I come to Scripture and I compare the KJV to these other translations, it is at least 99.5% the same. Did you hear that? You've heard the KJV only camp say, well, if you use something other than the King James, what they do, they leave the verses out about the deity of Christ. Folks, not true. Absolutely, positively not true. I fought JWs, the Jehovah's Witnesses, by using non-King James Version translations. There's all kind of verses in the NESB, the English Standard Version, the NIV, and other ones that show the deity of Christ. Okay, somebody might say, well, I don't know, this is strange. Are you saying then that there's no true Word of God? No, I am saying this is the Word of God. I am saying what we got in these translations is the Word of God. And we can and will be His children if you do the simple things that the Bible says, which is repent, and faithfully follow Jesus. And one of the big advantages I had reading other translations is finding out certain words are a continuing tense, such as in John 3:16. If you have the Youngs, and by the way, I want you to know that Youngs is based on the Textus Receptus. And Young, Dr. Young, chews apart the KJV, as does Jay Green. Jay Green also shows all kind of flaws in the KJV. I'll give you one right now. Listen to this. We're probably all acquainted with this. Acts 16, verse 17. These men are servants of the Most High God, telling you the way of salvation. Remember that, where the demon-possessed girl of Philippi spoke those words? I remember for years I scratched my head. I couldn't understand. This is a woman that has a demon in her. Why would that demon want to endorse Paul and Silas that way? Well, folks, believe it or not, it doesn't say the way in the Greek. That's one of the times the King James translators made a mistake. The translators put the word the instead of the word ah there. It actually says in the Greek, and you can look at it yourself, it's based on the Textus Receptus. These men are servants of the Most High God, telling you a way of salvation, not the way. How about 1 Timothy 6:10? You know that one? The love of money is the root of all kind of evil. Is it the root or a root? Or is it possible to go do evil out there and not really have money in mind at all? How about just revenge? How about just hate? How about just jealousy? How about some other thing other than money, which changes the way you would look at that? And all you have to do, if you check Greens, check Youngs, also based on the Textus Receptus, you'll see it reads different. Why? That's because the Greek Textus Receptus should not be translated like they did in 1611. Folks, I love you. They were not inspired. They were not inspired people. It's the original autographs that were inspired. The Greek and the Hebrew was inspired. Not the translators. The translators made mistakes. And by the way, for those of you that disagree with me, if you believe the translators of the 1611 were inspired, then you should read other translations, because that's what they taught. Did you know that? In the beginning of the 1611 edition, there's a statement here to the reader from the translators. And the translators of the 1611 say you should read more than one translation of the Bible. And I say, amen! That's what I've been teaching people for years. If you want a blessing, read more than one translation of the Bible. I started reading other translations, the NASB and other ones, and it was such a wonderful blessing, to get another shade of meaning, especially the Youngs. Because Youngs bring things out like in John 3:16, that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever is believing, that doesn't mean you have a moment of belief and you can stop believing. That word in John 3:16 is a continuous tense. It's a present tense. Whoever believes on Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Wasn't that a wonderful find? Isn't that great? That thrilled my soul to find that. I thought, yeah, that helps me to understand that we have to continue to believe. When Jesus gave us John 3:16, He's telling us, you keep believing and you'll never perish. You keep believing, you keep following, and you'll never perish. Oh, here's a nugget. Make sure you listen to this. Please, please, don't miss this one. And I love the way the NASB brings it out. And there are other translations likewise that bring it out. John 3:36. John 3:36, if you're acquainted with the King James, it's going to say that either the wrath of God abides on you or you're believing. But if you look at the Greek word for the opposite of believing means disobedience. It means you're disobeying. That you're not obeying. In other words, The truth of the word believe as on Jesus, which you must have to escape hell and enter God's kingdom, means to obey. If you're not obeying, you're not believing. Did you catch that? If you're not obeying Jesus, you're not believing on Jesus. That's what John 3:36 and elsewhere in Hebrews teaches about the word believe. A nugget. Again, that's a nugget that you'll get if you're reading some other translations. Okay. Now somebody might say, well, you're telling me something that I can't fully swallow. I have trouble with this. How about this one? Did you know that the differences between your edition of the KJV and the original 1611 is more than just the Apocrypha? You've been told the differences are the spelling, the punctuation, and the italics. That's not true. There are words added and words taken out in your translation that you're reading from the 1611. I'll give you an example right over here.
Quit reading King James. You got a problem.
Okay, now wait.
I don't understand why you tell me to read all these other versions. Yes, sir. When I get around to King James, why don't I need to read other
okay.
versions? Okay. Because they're all the
1611 edition, they recommend reading other translations. Now, some translations, like the Living Bible.
In that church and tell us who's read other translations.
Now, right for
you
this
don't believe